Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 109 of the Alexi Sale podcast. This is our Christmas. We always do a Christmas podcast for you just to brighten up your Christmas morning. So this is it. What have we got for them, Talal?
Oh, mate, there's a stack of reindeers queued up. We're going to interview each one of them. Blitzen's on first. We're going alphabetically. So we've prepared that. Yeah, we're going to talk to all the reindeers about their travels. I've got some bells I brought along. I thought I'd jingle them a bit.
Yeah. We can't none of that. Really.
We're finishing with a big snow fight, of course, snowball fight. You and me. Showdown. Snowdown. Mount Snowdown. I don't have anything, in case you didn't notice.
clearly not. I was expecting something.
Just woken up. It's Christmas morning.
Yeah.
I've got a turkey
in
the oven.
At least this is closer to Christmas than Jules Holland's Hoot Nanny is closer to.
Oh, they record that months ago, don't they?
Months before, yeah.
What if, like, one of the musicians on the Hoot Nanny New Year's, in the months after the recording, they could have, like, had a scandal? You know, they could turn out to be like horrible people, or they find out that the song is racist. Oh, did you get it?
No.
Alexi just clapped at a fly.
Moth.
A moth. Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if it's ever happened, really. But
I wonder.
You know, they would.
But like they had Gary Glitter in the recording, and then like by New Year's, he's in prison.
They have to
just cut it out, I guess.
They have to time it. Remember years and years ago, I think it was at the tram shed. I told this story before. Rick and Aid in the very early days were hired to do New Year's Eve. I think it was at the tram shed in Greenwich. And they ran out of material like by about 10:30.
Okay.
And they just said to everybody, oh, it's New Year's Eve. And there's like a piper and stuff to come on. And it was way early, but they, you know, there's a very unresponsive audience. They'd run out of material. So they just went, yeah, happy new year, everybody.
Did they make everyone check their watches at the door?
I don't know what, I don't even remember the story.
That's great.
Called it early.
That's great. What do you make a New Year's Eve? Do you ever?
No, I'm usually at home and in bed by.
You're in bed by midnight?
By midnight these days, yeah. Don't watch the fireworks. Well, we usually spend it with, you know, Nigel Planer and his wife, and used to be David Stafford and his wife before David died. So we still see them minus David. That's what we do on New Year's Eve. So I see New Year's Eve in with Neil from The Young Ones.
It's so sweet that you're still really close, you, him, and Lisa.
Yeah. Nigel bought me these socks.
Aww.
Ultra soft alpaca calf length socks.
Very nice. Alpaca.
Yeah.
That's like, people say it's the quality of cashmere, but much cheaper. Yeah. Or am I thinking of something else? Yes. Wow. In recent years, me and my lovely, wise, amazing partner, we have taken to just ditching New Year's parties and plans and spending it with just either at home alone, or we go to our friend's house.
Oh,
just
yeah.
The four of us sit and watch a movie or something.
There was also, we used to, with my dear friend Harry, also dead, he was a bus driver out of Hammersmith Garage, and there used to be attached to Hammersmith Bus Garage a flat-roofed pub, you know, never drinking a flat-roofed pub called the Britannia. I think a Young's pub where the bus crews could get drunk before taking their buses out.
Yeah.
And it was run by Chuck and Janice, a couple from Glasgow. And they had
Rocky Horror Picture.
Chuck and Janice, I don't know. But they had staying with them once this terrifying character called Tam. Glasgow.
Tam.
Just a terrifying looking character. And I was talking to him once, and people have to forgive my Scottish accent, but I said, oh, well, you must really enjoy New Year's Eve, you know, Hogmanay. And he said, nah, I didn't go out. I said, so one night of the year, he wasn't an alcoholic as well. So one night of the year, I don't go out. And I said, why? And he said, amateur. Amateur. He was offended by the thought of, you know, his what he did was get paralytic, really. And he was offended by the sight of all these other people, you know, these once rookies. A year getting drunk. Yeah. And amateur. So I've always remembered that.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been in a fight. I've never struck anyone in anger.
Yeah.
The one time I was like this close to doing so was a New Year's Eve. Was the last New Year's Eve where we went out. Because it is just, that's when all the morons go out.
Yeah, yeah.
Surrounded yeah, by them. Yeah. And they've never been in public before, it seems like. This geezer was fucking standing on our table and he fell and smashed all our glasses right. And spilt all our drinks all over us. And then he kept apologizing. And that was fine. Like, I can accept an accident, but then he kept apologizing and coming up to me and hugging me and saying, I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry. It was an accident. I'm like, it's fine. Stop bugging me. Because he cut his hand on the glass.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was covered in his blood from every time he fucking hugged me. Yeah. So not only was he incessantly, annoyingly apologizing, he was patting his bloody hand all over my nice shirt. And I was furious. I was so angry. I've never felt that angry. I was drunk as well. But where was this? Amateur hour for sure. Where amateur was that? Me? Hackney, I think, in a bar in Hackney. There was a band on stage, so he's standing on the table to watch the band.
Yeah, right. That was annoying. Horrific.
Yeah,
you stay in this year.
I think we've done several years staying in. We might actually go out this year. Not sure. Not sure. Haven't decided. We all decide in the last minute, however we feel.
Yeah.
The pub at the end of the road seems to have a nice party going as well.
And okay.
Nice, easy journey home. Yeah.
All right. What else? Well, we didn't answer any questions or emails or anything when Sammy was on. We could do that, fill a bit of time.
You're assuming we have some.
Oh, yeah. I just think we always have, well, don't we? Always have.
We always have them in, but... Yeah, I just read one that I that annoyed me. the chat is popping off always.
Yeah.
The questions do come
people
in.
People talk to each other. Is this?
But we're trying to keep the Christmas one a bit lighter. I don't want it to be too topical because we're Jules Hollanding this.
We're actually recording it in July.
Recording this one a little bit early, guys. In July.
We're recording this in July 1943. The war is
I had a question about when do you think this war will end?
Well, I think that the Eastern Front is starting to turn, isn't it? The Germans have been held at Stalingrad and
Lovely message from Nell saying it was really great to meet you in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago. And when you did the event for Paul Holden's book.
Yeah.
How did that go, by the way?
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was nice. We had a nice drive back as well. Yeah, it was fine. I think they should get more people. I mean, it's such an important book, really. I think, I don't know. I think there should be, it was about 50 people there, I think.
Right.
Salma Yacoub said people tend not to turn out for political things in Birmingham because they're all too nice. I don't know. I think you could have done with more people in a way. But yes, it was very nice. The people there were lovely, absolutely lovely group of people.
Well, Nell sounds lovely too. They listened to your podcast on the way home.
Oh, right.
And heard us talking about how you would like to have a Green Party member on the show to argue their side over your party.
Yeah, sure.
And Nell says they've been selected for the Green Party candidate program, and they're also a certified Marxist. They'd love to be that person. Right, coming in very cocksure and said, "Yeah, I'll be a guest on your show."
Well, we could do that, I guess.
Send me an audition tape, Nell. I want to see and hear how you speak.
That's a bit judgmental, isn't it? Just because.
Yeah, well, think on it, Nell. That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do some research on you. We'll find out you're not a. We'll find out if you're not a right wing stooge coming to infiltrate.
Seems unlikely.
Corporation. I was Googling in desperation the moments before we started recording. Alexis Sale Christmas. And everything, it was pages and pages of all of it was about our Christmas message. 2023 Christmas message. And so nothing fast. You have never done like a big Christmas movie or a TV show or something?
No, I don't think so. I'll just say I've done a video for Amnesty about austerity, which is a bit, which we did in the garden in the square. I think I think Amnesty are going to drop it on Christmas.
Yes, that's coming out Christmas Eve, and it will Christmas come out. Eve. It will be on our Instagram as well, Alexis L Pod on Instagram.
So try to make it festive by. Just wrapping sort of some flashing lights around me, or a kind of strip of fabric with flashing lights, which I don't know if you can see. It looks a bit like I'm just like one of them turtles that's been trapped in some plastic. Really, I think you might think a bit. Why has he got that nose. One bit of fabric wrapped around him? So that's the explanation for that. Really, I don't know. It sort of falls. I think it falls a bit between two stools, between like you know. How nicely you made my flat look festive for the alternative Christmas message. Mm. It just looks a bit odd. Really.
You got to go all out with something like that.
Yeah. So you know, anyway, it's the message is good. And,
yeah, you know. That will come out on Christmas Eve. I'm sure Amnesty will share it, and we're gonna have it on our Instagram as well, Alexis L Pod.
Yeah.
But one of the things I found was an article in Jewish News.
Oh, right.
From January 2024, so a few days after we dropped the alternative. Christmas message. Opinion. It is anti-Semites who don't understand irony. Stephen Fry's alternative Christmas message has generated a spiteful backlash that illustrates the whole point. Of his podcast, that it is you. So they gush about Fry for a while. And then a few paragraphs in, it says, Alexis Sale's alternative message was also revealing. Instead of supporting the entire Jewish community, he would stand with that small number of Jews who were part of the United demonstrations for Palestine. For Sale, these are presumably the good Jews, the virtuous ones who deserve a modicum of sympathy, as opposed to the establishment Zionists who support, and this is in like quotes, genocide and mass murder in Gaza. All these people assume that mentioning Jewish suffering is a political gesture born of deception and connivance. They also tried to force people into making a binary choice between accepting Jews are victims of racism and showing sympathy for Palestinian suffering. So he has a bit of a go at you. I thought that might get a response out of you, but as I'm reading it, I'm like, what do you what did
Jewish
you say
News
to
is
that?
One of those. It's like Jewish News, Jewish Chronicle. You're very much involved in the what is revealed in Paul Holden's book, The Fraud, to be entirely or mostly fake accusations of anti-Semitism against Jeremy Corbyn. So that's what I think of you, Jewish News.
Yeah. Some of the shit they say. I do follow Jewish News just to get an insight on all points of view. And they often share pretty rampant pro-Israeli stuff. But then occasionally they'll share a story that's very pragmatic and diplomatic.
Right.
And quite positive. And the comment section is so spiteful and hateful. And
yeah.
Like they go, shame on you for writing this. So it seems to be quite a broad publication, but the comments, the audience are just so angry, hateful, and racist.
They're ethno-fascists, aren't they?
Yeah. Sickens me. Bewilders me. I got a quiz for us.
Okay.
Would you like to do a really nice trivia quiz? I want you to play along at home. See, let's call this segment.
Write this shit down.
Yeah, get a pen and paper, Alexi. Right. Everyone at home, get a pen and paper. And this segment is called Beat Alexi. What do you think of that?
All right.
Beat Alexi. We're going to ask Alexi. I've got this quiz round. It's TV and film. There are 15 questions, but three of them have an audio element, which I can't figure out right now. So there will be, four of them. So there will be 11 questions. 11 points up for grabs. 11 points up for grabs. Beat Alexi, everyone at home. Write down your answers. No cheating. Put your Apple Watches away. Question one. This is on Quiz Demon. Thank you, Quiz Demon. Question one. The opening scene to which 2004 film starts with an auction being held at a shut-down old theater house where props are being sold off to raise money? Okay. The opening scene to which 2004 film starts with an auction being held at a shut-down old theater where props are being sold off to raise money. Write down all your answers. I'm going to go through the answers at the end, everybody, and we'll count up your scores. All right, question two. As stated in the opening titles of the classic sitcom Porridge, what was the length of the prison term Norman Stanley Fletcher was sentenced to?
This is terrible.
As stated in the opening titles of Porridge, what was the length of his prison term? Norman Stanley Fletcher's prison term. Okay. Question three. In the 2000 film of the same name, Billy Elliot should have been practicing what instead of ballet?
I don't fucking know.
In the film Billy Elliot from 2000, what should he have been practicing instead of ballet? You want a little clue?
Yeah.
It also begins with B. There you go. I don't normally give out clues in these things, but it's Christmas, so I'm going to be extra nice to you all.
All right.
All right, skipping the music question. So that makes this question four, even though it's question five, very confusing. Question four. Often heard spoken by David Jason in his role as Del Boy in Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
Which two-word phrase entered the Oxford English Dictionary in 2003.
All right, I know.
Del Boy, Only Fools and Horses. Which two-word phrase entered the Oxford English Dictionary in 2003?
All right,
I'm minusing one, so this is question five. In the world of film comedy, how were the brothers Adolf, Herbert, Julius, Leonard, and Milton collectively known?
I know that one.
In the world of film comedy, how are the brothers Adolf, Herbert, Julius, Leonard, and Milton collectively known?
Okay.
God, so I've been minusing one, but I'm skipping another one, so minus two. Is this question six now?
Right.
Is it six? It should be six.
I don't care.
Question six. Major Charles Ingram was famously found guilty of cheating on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? When the program was eventually aired 2 years later, what was the first product to be advertised during the first break?
Yeah.
All right. Major Charles Ingram found cheating. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? When they finally aired it on the TV, what was the first advert?
All right.
Question seven. In the opening sequence to The Simpsons, which of the characters is scanned at the supermarket checkout? Which Simpson is scanned? Question eight. Starring veteran actors Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, what is the title of the 1995 sequel to the 1993 film Grumpy Old Men? The sequel to Grumpy Old Men, 1995. What was the title? You should, with a bit of creativity, I think you could even guess. All right, last three. Question 9, I think. In the classic sitcom Happy Days, Henry Winkler played the Fonz. Sunday, but what was the character's proper name?
Thursday. Oh, God.
Happy Days, the Fonz. What was his real name? What was the Fonz's full name? Okay, question 10, penultimate question. The Channel 5 drama, Wentworth, is a revival of which classic 1980s Australian series? Was this an Australian website? Why did they ask us that?
Yeah, once.
Unless, I don't know Wentworth, maybe you do. Channel 5 drama, Wentworth, is a revival of which classic?
I think we were in Canada, and it was during the height of Trivial Pursuit mania.
Yeah.
And Trivial Pursuit, I think, which is maybe invented in Canada, and it was much cheaper in Canada, so we bought a Trivial Pursuit set to bring home. And then, of course, when we got it home, all the fucking questions are about fucking Canada, you know.
Shit.
Which building in Ontario, you know, was demolished by a moose, eh? Open the boat. It was a false economy. Never buy.
Hoot in the boot.
Hoot the boat. They won't let me go. Out yeah. The boat.
It took me years to realize that Monopoly isn't like Pall Mall and like
You're getting all Russell Square cities. And all that. Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I thought that was like the main Monopoly, but it's not the main. I don't know. The original Monopoly might have been New York. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Last question.
Yeah.
Which song did the boys finally strip to in the 1997 film The Full Monty?
Oh, God.
This is offering a hint. I can give you a hint if you want.
Yeah.
Which song did the boys finally strip to in the 1997 film The Full Monty? Hint? It was sung by Tom Jones.
Oh.
But I'll give you a hint. My own hint. It's a cover.
I don't know.
It's a cover of I'm not going to give you any more hints.
Cover of who?
Randy Newman.
Cover of a Randy Newman song?
Yeah.
Small people.
Small people got no clothes on.
Oh, I Love L.A. or Baltimore.
I had a dream
Randy
last
Newman
night.
Song.
I was in it and you were in it with me. Everyone that you know, everyone that I know was in my dream. I actually really like Randy Newman.
Yeah, me too. Look at those mountains. Look at those trees. Look at that bum over there. He's down on his knees. You look at those women. There ain't nothing like them nowhere. Century Boulevard. I love it. Victory Boulevard. I love it. Something somewhere else. I love it. I love L.A.
I love L.A.
In fact, I've seen him live. One of the few people.
Wow, lucky.
Me, David Stafford, the late David Stafford, and Bill Oddie went to see Randy Newman at the Barbican. And then afterwards, a fan came over and monopolized Bill Oddie, who was surprisingly pleasant with this terrible bore. Well, I sometimes think about, and I really wish I'd said, all right, mate, we haven't, you know, go away now. But I didn't. Homer says, is that Homer that says, not, you kind of missed opportunity. Is that the time Mr. T came to the mall and I delayed and delayed? And when I got there, he'd left. I said to the security guy, do you think he'll be back? And he said, not anytime soon. Maybe the last time I saw Bill Oddie in real life, I think. There's a poignant story with no point.
Give me some pause with that. Oh, he's still going, Bill Oddie.
Bill, yeah, he's still going.
So why haven't you seen him? Give him a call.
I don't. He's a friend of David's, and David's dead.
Oh, right. Sorry, man. I'm sorry so many of your friends are dead.
That's what you get for being 73.
Oh, Habibi. It's the way it goes, I guess, isn't it? Right, that's the end of the questions.
All right,
in
okay.
Beat Alexi. Listeners at home, have you beaten Alexi? From the sounds of his grumbles and grimbles, it Probably you have. Well,
I think probably
him.
Have, yeah.
Let's have a look, shall we? Question one. I'll try and make this quick. Alexei, I want you to give yourself a point for each correct answer. Be honest now and tell me your total at the end, okay?
Yeah.
And obviously react and tell me if you got it right or wrong. Okay, the opening scene to which 2004 film? Auction, shut down theatre house, they're selling off the props to raise money. What did you write, Alexei?
I've put Greatest Showman.
Ooh. No, that's a really good guess. But it was Phantom of the Opera, I'm afraid. No points, Alexei. All right. No points. All right, Porridge. What was the length of his prison term? 10 years, you say? That's 5 years. Halve it, Alexei.
Makes more sense, yeah.
Halve it. Billy Elliot should have been practicing what instead of ballet?
Biology. Begins with a B.
Boxing. They don't have time for myology. Biology in the mining towns up north or in Wales or wherever it was. I think it was up north, surely. All right, question four. David Jason said a phrase, and only in Fools and Horses in 2003 it entered the Oxford English Dictionary. What was it?
You plonker.
That's, I think, that's the misdirect. They want you to say you plonker. But would that go in a dictionary? No.
Kushti? No, I don't know then.
Lovely jubbly.
Oh, lovely jubbly. I've got none so far.
None right so far. Question five. The brothers, Adolf, Herbert, Julius, Leonard, and Milton, who are they?
The Marx Brothers.
Correct. How apt.
Yes.
But why isn't Groucho there?
Groucho is there. It's just his real name wasn't Groucho. He was.
Thank you. Okay. So you've got a point, Alexei. Alexei Sale on the board. How are you doing, listeners at home? Shout out your points now. Whoa, very good. Well, let's see if you can keep that streak going. I think this is question six. Major Charles Ingram, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? What was the first advert of that famous episode?
Cough drops.
Oh, I'll give you it. It's cough syrup. I will give you anything with the word cough in it. Yeah. Or if you wrote lozenge or Lemsip, I'll even give you Lemsip, guys at home. Yeah. Everyone, even though Lemsip's terrible for coughs. Okay. Question seven. Simpsons, who do they scan in the intro sequence?
Of Baby
Simpsons?
Maggie.
Science. Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is question eight. Sorry, it's hard for me to count because I have to delete in my head the music round questions. I think it's eight. Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, the sequel to Grumpy Old Men. What was it called?
What could have been The Odd Couple? It wasn't Sunshine Boys. I don't know. I don't remember Grumpy Old Men. Much more obvious.
Yeah.
Grumpy Old Men 2, more Grumpy Old Men. Grumpier Old Men.
That's closer. Yeah, it's along that. But it's just Grumpier Old Men.
Grumpier Old Men. I don't remember. I'll have that.
Americans, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Question nine. The Fonz. What was the Fonz's full name? Come on, Lex.
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Yes! Give yourself a point, Alexei Sale.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Hey. Sit on it. Channel 5 drama Wentworth is a revival of which classic 1980s Australian series?
Prisoner in Cell Block H.
Yes, Alexei. Give yourself another fucking point. Merry fucking Christmas. Take that point, stick it in your fucking stocking, you sexy bastard. Prisoner colon Cell Block H, but I'll give you whatever the slight mispronouncement you said. All right, last question. Sexy, sexy men. Full Monty. What song do they strip to?
You sexy thing?
Yeah. That's in the film, but that's not the final striptease.
It's not the final striptease.
You don't know? It's You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Originally performed by Randy Newman, written and performed. I think he only really did a demo version of it. And then Joe Cocker covered it. And then Tom Jones covered the cover of Joe Cocker's cover. You Can Leave Your Hat On. All right, Alexei, the big moment. Tell me your total scores.
I got six.
Six out of 11. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Over half.
Yeah.
You know what? Your table wins a free round. go to the bar, take this token to the bar, and your table gets a free round. Congratulations, thank you, Alexi. Anyone at home, if you got more points than six, drop us a message on the Patreon chat. Let us know that you got more points, and I'll record an audio message from Alexi to you.
Phantom of the Opera.
If you got less than six, what's their forfeit, Alexi, if someone didn't get more than six? On Christmas Day, give them a challenge, a forfeit that they have to go and do right now while they're listening to this. If they didn't beat Alexi.
I don't know. Go and help the homeless or something. It's what Jeremy does on Christmas Day, isn't it? He goes to a food kitchen. Feeds the homeless.
Yeah. Go to your kitchen, make a sandwich, go out into the streets and give it to the first homeless person you come across. Unhoused individual. Give them a few coins, whatever it is. Help the homeless. That's such a cute forfeit, Alexi. Why are you so sweet? You really are the Marxist Santa, aren't you? You're such a sweetie. You could have easily said something cruel, like, get your bum out in the street, or call up your worst enemy and tell him you fancy them. But no. Not the homeless. Well, did you enjoy that? Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. I'm glad when I started winning, you know.
Yeah. But you know what? I think it's barely even midday. We haven't had our Bucks Fizz or our salmon on cream cheese on a cracker yet.
Do you remember when Henry Winkler?
It was too much fun.
There was a phase of my former agent was instrumental in this, was the big US stars used to come over here and do Panto.
Oh, yeah.
Henry Winkler was in Panto in Wimbledon. Wow. He really liked it, I think. I don't think you get that anymore. Well, I know Jeremy Corbyn's, rather cruelly, Jeremy Corbyn's appearing, isn't he, in the Panto.
Yeah, like a Wicked-themed Panto.
Yeah, at the Park Theatre, I think, and where Sammy's going to be. And somebody said, I've been busy, I've been found in your party, and somebody in the audience shouted out, it's behind you.
It's
cruel, but...
All right, I need to go baste the turkey, Lex.
Yeah, All right, happy Christmas, everyone. See you in, I don't know when we do. Are we going to do one before the new year or after the new year?
I assume if everything goes well, we'll be back next week. Same time, same back place.
All right.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Alexi Sell Podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkuti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.